Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 1 through 16 of Isaiah chapter 7. We're talking about false piety this morning, and the word piety is defined in Webster's dictionary as dutifulness in religion, meaning doing good works. Now, through time, there have been many people who have shown a false piety. That is to say, they've pretended to be very religious, but in reality, their religion was fake and they were not a true believer at all. Unfortunately, we see this many times with people in the public eye, celebrities, things of that sort, where they might thank God in one breath and the next breath curse God. Some have shown a short-term fit, if you will, of piety, but acting very religious for a period of time, but ultimately showing that they weren't true believers. And sadly, even this false piety makes its way into the church. A church that I pastored very early on in ministry, there was a couple in that church who unfortunately fit this exact mold. They fit the mold of false piety. They came to church, they put on all the outward signs of being real and genuine and even kind to people around them, but they were the kind of people that once they got away from the church, they would talk bad about the church, they would talk bad about the people of the church and all sorts of things, and they even talk bad about me. Can you believe that? My goodness. But honestly, the biggest problem that they had with me is the fact that I would stand up in the pulpit and call sin, sin. And when you feel conviction and you feel uncomfortable and don't repent, you're likely to lash out at somebody. And I just happened to be one of the targets that they genuinely or generally liked to lash out at. Unfortunately, there were those, just a handful, thankfully, that would listen to that stuff. But thankfully, people were more discerning than that, and ultimately, the one who matters the most, God, knows all. And he knows our heart. He knows if we're genuine. He knows if we're sincere in our faith. So thankfully, God does know our hearts. He knows whether or not we're living with a genuine faith or a false piety. So as we pick up in our text today, we're going to find a king that tries to impress God and God's prophet with some false piety. But rest assured, God knows the heart. He's not fooled by anyone's false piety. So Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, and if you're able, I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. This took place during the reign of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah. Aram's king Rezin and Israel's king Pekah, son of Remaliah, went to fight against Jerusalem, but they were not able to conquer it. When it became known to the house of David that Aram had occupied Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of his people trembled like trees of a forest shaking in the wind. The Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out with your son Shear Jashub to meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool by the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, 'Calm down and be quiet. Don't be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoldering sticks, the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and the son of Remaliah. For Aram, along with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, has plotted harm against you. They say, "Let us go up against Judah, terrorize it, and conquer it for ourselves. Then we can install Tabeel's son as king in it." This is what the Lord God says. It will not happen. It will not occur. The chief of Aram is Damascus. The chief city of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The chief of Ephraim is Samaria, and the chief city of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. It can be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz replied, "I will not ask. I will not test the Lord." Isaiah said, "Listen, house of David, is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. By the time he learns to reject what is bad and to choose what is good, he will be eating curds and honey. For before the boy knows to reject what is bad and choose what is good, the land of the two kings you dread will be abandoned." May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love, God. I thank you for amazing grace, and I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that we would see in King Ahaz what it means to be rebellious toward you and to talk a talk but not walk the walk. Lord, help us to be people who indeed walk out our faith. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, and may your truth be spoken here. It's in your precious and powerful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, first of all, here I want you to see, to take a look at Ahaz's disobedience. Now, Ahaz was the grandson of Uzziah, the son of Jotham. Uzziah had been a God-fearing king most of his reign, but he didn't end up that way. Unfortunately, he died in shame because he returned from God and turned toward other things. Uzziah's son Jotham, however, succeeded him on the throne, and he reigned for 16 years. Jotham was a good king. He was a godly king, and in 2 Kings 15, we find these words about Jotham. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What a great statement to have said of you, something you and I should strive to be said of us and to be able to be said of us, that we did what was right in the sight of God. There's no greater or higher compliment that could be paid to us than to have the Lord say that of us. This was the kind of man that Jotham was. Other people could look at his life and they could see clearly and plainly that he was following after God. You and I should be genuinely living for God so that other people see that we're trying to honor God with our lives. Ahaz, however, didn't follow in the footsteps of his father. Ahaz, like his father, reigned for 16 years, but he was not a good king, and he didn't follow after the ways of God. In 2 Kings chapter 16, we find this: but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel and even made his sons pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Now, this passage is about Ahaz, taken from 2 Kings, and it makes it clear that Ahaz didn't follow after God. As a matter of fact, he followed after pagan religions. He had his infant son pass through fire as part of some pagan ritual. He also burned incense and made sacrifices to false gods. His father had lived for the one true God. Ahaz, however, turned away from the truth to serve those things that weren't real at all. He was indeed a pagan king. Now you should notice that because of his rebellion, he didn't trust God to protect his people. When it was reported to him that Rezin, the king of Syria, or Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, were camped at Ephraim, Ahaz and his people shook with fear like trees shake when the wind blows through them. If you ever see the wind blow, you can see trees just move back and forth. That's what the writer is describing for us here, Isaiah. You see, Syria had previously attacked Jerusalem but was unable to take it over. Israel had previously attacked Jerusalem and was unable to take it over. Now the two of them were united in their attack against Ahaz, and Ahaz was afraid that what the two could not do on their own, that they would be able to do together. Ahaz wasn't serving God or looking to God. Instead, he was looking at false gods, and he was looking at his own strength. However, God was not ready for Jerusalem to be overtaken, and it would be some time until the Babylonians would come onto the scene and finally capture Judah. So I ask you, have there been times in your life when you felt like the enemy was encamped around you? When you felt like everything was against you? When you felt like living in fear? The reality is we serve a God who is in control of it all. Our guest for revival coming up in August is Kenny Evans. Some of you got to hear him last year as he shared his testimony, and he'll be back with us in August for revival. But Kenny made a post the other day, and I thought it was really a pretty good insight. If your dad was a mechanic, would you worry about your car breaking down? No, you wouldn't worry so much about your car. If your dad was a dentist, would you worry about your teeth? No, you'd trust your dad to take care of your teeth. And you could go on and on about whatever profession you want to say, but here's the reality. Your dad created you in his image, and you can count on him to be there for you. There's nothing that he can't overcome. He is there for us. When we have the enemy encamped around us, we can trust him because we serve a sovereign God who is in control. When we take our eyes off of him, like Peter, we begin to look around at the wind and the waves instead of focusing on the one who is in control. God will not allow you to sink if you'll look to him. If you try to do it in your own strength, you're bound to sink. You're bound to fail. But God will help you overcome even the worst of enemies. However, if we look to God and trust him when the enemy's encamped around us, we'll find deliverance and strength. We'll find that God has been there all along, that he's allowed us to be tested in the midst of that so that we can be strengthened and grow in him. Ahaz didn't trust God, but God was not ready to allow his remnant in Judah to be taken over by their enemies. In spite of Ahaz's lack of faith and trust in God, God delivered those who were faithful. Trust that if you remain faithful to God, he will deliver you from the hands of your enemy. Now hear me. Sometimes you're going to face difficult times, and it's not going to always turn out the way that you want it to. That's when you have to go back to the promises of God's word, that everything works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God has a plan in it, even when it doesn't work out the way that we want it to. So we've seen Ahaz's disobedience, but now I want us to see what happened next. We see the saving grace of God. Now, God knew that Ahaz was scared. Even though Ahaz had been disobedient, God wanted to comfort him. He wanted to reassure him, and that's the way it is with God's grace. Even though we don't deserve his grace, he still brings his grace before us. He still offers us forgiveness and salvation through his son. We deserve to be judged in our sin, but God sent his son to take our place so that we might know his love, that we might know his forgiveness. Ahaz deserved to be judged by God. He deserved to be overtaken by his enemies, but God wanted him to experience his grace. Now look at what God did. He sent his prophet Isaiah to Ahaz to bring a word of encouragement. Now there is perhaps some symbolism in where Isaiah was to meet and to talk with Ahaz. You see, God told him to go to the conduit of the upper road. Now the conduit was the place where life-giving water flowed into Jerusalem. This was the place where people could quench their thirst. This was literally the place where the fountain of water sprung forth. Isaiah was coming to bring a fountain of blessings from God. Isaiah was going to be a conduit through which the promise of God's blessing would flow. Now, the word that's used for upper there is a word that's used over 30 times in Scripture to refer to the Most High. The upper pool was symbolic of God, and ultimately Jesus would be the conduit through which the blessings of grace and mercy would flow to the world. The highway that's mentioned here represented a path that was elevated above the surrounding land to keep the traveler's feet clean. The highway of righteousness is the path which those who follow God should travel on to stay above the evil and uncleanness of this world. We should stick to the straight and narrow and follow after the things of God that we might remain holy as he is holy. Now, it's often in the darkest hour for an individual that they turn to God. Unfortunately, too many times we have to come to our lowest point before we'll turn to God. Many times those who have come to faith in Christ have found themselves at a terribly low point when there's nowhere else to look. And they finally look up to God and find that he's been waiting there all along. The Holy Spirit draws them to God's presence. But even after becoming a Christian, we find ourselves trying to do things on our own. We're often so strong-willed or independent-minded that we try to do things on our own. Well, I don't really want to bother God with that. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us far more than we could ever begin to imagine, and he's not bothered by his children. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to look to him. God's grace is sufficient for anything that we might face, and he will help us through it if we allow him. God chose to use Isaiah to be a conduit through which his blessings would be presented before Ahaz. If we will be open and available to God, he will use us to be a blessing to others. If we will be open and available to God, God will use others to be a blessing to us. Indeed, we see Ahaz's disobedience and we see the saving grace of God. But thirdly, I want you to see God's willingness to prove himself. Now, Ahaz was reluctant to trust God, even as Isaiah is telling him what's going to happen. He really didn't believe in his heart that this was going to happen. God told Ahaz, ask whatever. ask for whatever sign you want. It can be the highest height, it can be the lowest depth, whatever it is, as high as heaven or as deep as Sheol. God was saying that there were no boundaries as to what Ahaz could ask for. God wanted to prove to Ahaz that he was truly God and that he could do just as he said. God wants to do that in our lives. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe God will do things for us and minister to us in times when we don't see where it could come from. Now hear me, I am not somehow suggesting to you that God is telling you to ask for that Ferrari. That is not what I'm telling you at all. But I am telling you this, our God is an amazing God who will meet us at our point of need, and he will do things even when we don't see any way out. But look at the foolish and false piety that Ahaz showed. God had just told him to put him to the test. And Ahaz tried to impress God with his false piety. And he says, oh, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. If you look at the text, you see Isaiah's response to that. Not only have you acted dumb with people, now you're standing before God and trying God's patience. You've tried the patience of people. Now you're trying the patience of God. God's response was obvious. Ahaz had acted foolishly. He was trying God's patience. God had promised a sign if Ahaz would only ask for it, but he really didn't want to know God's will, so he didn't even seek a sign from God. It may be that many times we miss God's will in our lives because we're not seeking God in the first place. We're not asking God to direct us. We're not asking God for a sign. You know, a lot of times we want to pile on when it comes to Gideon. Well, you know, old Gideon, he just threw out the fleece. But you know, there is a place in our life when God says, hey, test me. You want to know my will, then pursue me. I'll give you a sign. I'll make it clear. Now, I don't want to oversimplify it, okay? I don't want to make it sound like, you know, you'll know every decision along the way from the beginning. Sometimes God only reveals the next step. Way too often God only reveals the next step. And we've got to trust him in that and trust that he's going to take care of things moving down the line. You know, sometimes we make statements that sound very pious when we say, well, I'm just going to step out on faith. And what's really happening a lot of times when we say that is, I'm impatient. I'm just going to go ahead and move. You know, we operate under this mindset sometimes of, well, don't just sit there, do something. And sometimes God is saying, be patient, sit there, let me lead you. I'm not telling you I have all the answers to it, okay? I wish I could tell you it was really simple. But the bottom line thing that I know is that pursuing God is the right thing. And waiting on his timing is the right thing. And God will reveal his timing in things if we'll trust him in it. It's not always like we want it to be, but he will reveal himself. I remember one time I was listening to an interview with one of the astronauts who was one of the last ones on a moon mission in the 70s. He was talking about how neat it was to see the Earth out there and how exciting it was to be on the moon, but he said something that really stood out to me. When they blasted off with their lunar module from the surface of the moon, there was only a 7-second window for them to blast off and to be in the right orbit, to get in the proper flight pattern to get back to Earth. Just 7 seconds to properly get back home. Listen, God's timing is perfect. And his window is only open when he opens. And if we try to run ahead of God or go around God and his timing, we're going to mess things up. God had given Ahaz a chance to experience his power and his grace, but Ahaz was more interested in sounding pious than he was in being obedient. Don't allow church games to keep you from honoring God. Don't allow outward appearances to keep you from being obedient to God. He will show you that he is faithful and more than capable of taking care of you. So we see Ahaz's disobedience. We see the saving grace of God. We see God's willingness to prove himself. But fourthly, I want you to see God's ultimate demonstration of grace. You see, Ahaz wasn't willing to ask God for a sign, but God was going to give a sign to all the world that would show the world that he is indeed a gracious God. To a world that would despise and reject his own son, he would still send his son to the earth. This would be the beginning of the ultimate demonstration of God's grace. Of course, that demonstration of grace would not be complete until he went to the cross and then was raised from the tomb. God would send his son into the world and he would be born of a virgin. And indeed, that is confirmed in the Gospels. This prophecy happening over 700 years before Christ would be born. Mary indeed had not been with Joseph, but instead had been blessed with child by God. Now, certainly plenty of scholars want to deny the virgin birth. And I want to be clear, folks, it was also not an immaculate conception. Mary was not perfect. For that to be the case, her entire lineage would have to be perfect. And I'm pretty sure I've read somewhere, there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay, it's in the Word of God. So even Mary had sin in her life, but God brought his son to the world through her. It comes down to one thing. Do you believe God is a sovereign God? Do you believe God can do what he says he's going to do? And if you do, then he can certainly allow his son to be born of a virgin. Now, certainly Jesus wasn't named Emmanuel, but he was God with us, and he was the Son of God and was fully human and fully God at the same time. He walked the earth and lived a blameless life so that he could become the sacrifice for our sins. In verse 15, we see that Jesus didn't come into the world through a wealthy family. He came into the world through rather humble beginnings with a family of humble means. You see, the diet of curds and honey would have been the normal diet for a common man in Isaiah's day. This was not the diet of royalty. Christ would not come to earth before the land of Judah would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. The rebellion of the Israelites kept them constantly moving from captivity to repentance. Ahaz couldn't possibly understand the significance of what Isaiah was telling him, but we know, because we live on this side of the incarnation, indeed what Isaiah was saying to Ahaz. We know that Christ came to earth just as the Bible said that he would, and he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament about him. King Ahaz could have known just a little piece of God's grace, but he was so full of false piety that he rejected God's grace. So God told Ahaz of his ultimate plan of grace that would take place through his son. The world would know God's grace, but Ahaz failed to trust God for his grace. Folks, I pray that we would not be so consumed with outward appearances, that we would not be so consumed with looking good in the eyes of other church folk or even our neighbors or the lost world, that we've lost sight of a relationship with the one who came to save us from our sin. You see, it's not about external appearances. It's about God changing our heart. It's about placing our faith in him and trusting in him and allowing him to change us from the inside out. When we're pursuing Christ, when we're following him, then our life is going to reflect his character. Those who reject the grace of God in this life will not have a second chance. There won't be another opportunity. Those who turn away from God and seek their own ways and insist upon living in sin will know God's judgment. God would rather they experience his grace, but he is a just God as much as he is a gracious God. And for those who refuse his grace, they experience his judgment. See, I pray that God would help you have a burden for those around you who are lost. To the extent that we would live our life before them in a way that honors God, but also to the extent that we'd tell them how they can know Christ, that we would share with them how they can have a relationship with him. If you win just one person to Christ in your life, that's one soul in heaven for eternity that won't have to experience the consequences of hell. But I pray we'd take as many as we could with us. As many as we could. Ahaz was disobedient to God. He didn't follow after what he'd been taught. Here's one thing I know to be the truth today. You're here in God's house. You've been taught the truth. What I can't answer for you is whether or not you've embraced the truth. Maybe like Ahaz, you saw the truth modeled, but you've rebelled against God's grace. God's extended saving grace to you. But you have to be willing to admit you need God. You have to be willing to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And to do that, you have to ask God's forgiveness. You have to say, God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. The good news is He will. When we do that, God will show Himself over and over in your life that He is exactly who He says He is. And we can walk with Him. We can walk with Him each day of our lives. I'm going to ask you right now to bow your head and close your eyes. And I just want to encourage us all right now before God to focus our attention upon Him. For those of us here who are followers of Christ, I pray right now, just in our mind's eye, somehow we would look into the throne room of grace and we'd see our Savior there and invite Him to shine the light of His life on ours that we might see anything within us that we've been holding back from God, anything within us that where we've been sinning, where we've not trusted those things to God. And God, as You reveal those things to us, I pray right now we'd repent. Lord, forgive us of our sins. But God, I pray right now for anyone here who's never trusted You as Savior. I pray right now they would realize their need to know You and to have a personal relationship with You. Pray that they would ask Your forgiveness and trust in You today. Lord, whatever You need to do in our hearts, in each individual heart, God, I pray You do that right now. Lord, there may be others You're leading to become a part of this body of believers. But Lord, I pray we wouldn't let this invitation time go without doing business with You and making sure our heart is right with You. Help us, Lord, not to be like Ahaz and show a false faith, but instead to be genuinely seeking You. We give this invitation time to You and ask You to have Your way in it. It's in Your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen.